Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Golden Manhole Covers. No grotty marsupials, no goody 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 mum drops, no gossip mongers, yes, gossip mongers, yes, yes, that's it, gossip mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
This is from Jack. Back in the mid-2000s, I had a job in a shoe shop. We had a terrible work-hard-play-hard ratio and would pretty much spend all day pissing about pranking each other. It was a type of place where a kecking or a dick-flicking was fairly normal while serving a customer. One day, I had to get a new shoe for the display as we'd sold one. It was the ugliest shoe you've ever seen, mixed between a superstar and a croc. I shared the lift back down from the stockroom with Big Ray. He earned that nickname by having a giant cock.
Simple. Nice and simple.
A cock so big, people feared flicking him in it as it would bruise a nail.
It was rock hard as well.
As soon as the doors close and we commence our trip, Big Ray gets his massive cock out and says, "Pass me that shoe."
Pass me that shoe.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I hand him the ironically cock-blocking shoe and he puts his full dick inside. The 90-degree angle of the bend of his dick is enough to hold the shoe hands-free. Like some sort of abstract painting.
How's he holding
on a huge nail in a Berlin art gallery.
How's he holding the shoe up with his knob? Explique moi. He's put his knob in the...
The 90-degree angle of the bend of his dick.
Oh, he's got a... Right, so he's got a bend in his knob that means a shoe can hang off it. Fucking hellfire. I like the way that was sort of semi-glossed over. If you're going to say your mate's got a massive knob at a 90-degree angle halfway down, like, spend a moment telling us that.
Fucking hell, he shoved it into a shoe.
Yeah, and then it just hung there. Because if you've got a straight down knob, it can't hang there. So it's...
No.
So it's big and bent.
I was impressed. I might have even clapped. As we got to our destination, he handed the shoe back to me and popped the destroyer away.
Meaning his penis.
As I joined the sales floor, there was a bunch of other...
The sales floor. You can't go back onto the sales floor after that.
As I joined the sales floor, there was a bunch of other colleagues standing by the till looking at something on the computer. I asked the assistant manager, "Hey, does this shoe smell weird to you?"
Oh, he's still holding the shoe and he's giving it to his manager, right?
Yeah. He immediately thrusts his nose deep inside the shoe, inhaling hard. "No," he says. "Why?" To which I reply, "Well, Ray's just had his dick in it."
Simple lad, isn't he?
In a shoe shop. Really bored in a shoe shop.
Yeah, just people happily trying on loafers, not knowing that's all going on behind them.
Before we can even laugh, cry, a hungover student, Saturday boy, grabs the shoe. Not knowing what had just been said, he unlaces it a little bit more to get more purchase with his nostrils. Deeply exhales, says the whole, "No, why?" And he gets the terrible news about the shoe's recent tenant. Immediately projectile vomits into a sale bin full of cut-price sweatpants. The shoe finally made its way to the footwear wall. With pride of place on the top shelf. Fitting, we thought, considering its seedy path. The dirty top shelf. One day, months later, someone grabbed the shoe off the shelf and asked, "Can I try this on? It's my size." All the staff paused, looked at each other and burst out laughing in some sort of 90s sitcom-style freeze-frame end scene. That guy bought that shoe. From time to time, I think about where it is these days, what it's up to. And does it ever speak of its past? I guess we'll never know. Hope you enjoyed that, Jack. Oh, that was brilliant. That was really good.
Just threw up in a bin of half cut price sweatpants.
Sweatbands.
Oh, was it sweatbands? Oh, right. No, that was good.
Oh, sweatbands is better.
No, I don't. Yeah, sure. Just in my head, it's sweatpants now, so it's ruined.
Oh, dear.
A shoe shop staffed by a bunch of total dossers. Total dossers. Bloody dossers. And pranksters. The lot of them. Total dossers. Good old Big Ray stuffs his massive todger in a shoe. Todger in a shoe. Big Ray.
Big Ray.
Good old Big Ray. Todger in a shoe.
Todger in a shoe.
So big, so and bent. It doesn't even fall off. Big Ray.
Big Ray.
Todger in a shoe.
Todger in a shoe.
Sniff, sniff. The shoe stinks of cock now. Stinks of cock now. Sniff, sniff. Hide the cock shoe on a top shelf to be sold later. Where is that stinking todger shoe now? I wonder, wonder. Who owns the smelly cock shoe now? Now. Gossip number two.
This is from Claire. "Thank you, lovely people, for the podcast, but I really can't thank you for unearthing a memory of a rumour long since buried and forgotten, so I thought it only fair that I share it with you. At the time, I was 6 years old, and it caused me not only a great deal of worrying in my bed at night, but a prolonged spate of constipation. It starts before I can actually remember. When I was 18 months old, I apparently bit the boy next door through the fence. He was a couple of years older than me, and I only mention this because I believe it was the cause of his ongoing hatred towards me. When I started school, he was already in top infants and proceeded to make my break times hell by chasing me constantly in an angry way and catching me with skipping ropes. One day, he upped his level of torture towards me. He told me that in his house next door in his living room, he had a massive fish tank set into the wall. It was so big, it took up the entire wall. It was full of water with some pebbles on the bottom, but otherwise empty. No fish, no weed, nothing else. In the top corner, there was a pipe sticking into the tank, and every time I did a poo in my house, my poo would come out of the pipe and into his tank.
No. What are you on about?
And his whole family would sit around and laugh at my poos.
No.
Well, this is... Yeah, but this is him joking, winding her up.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Oh, right. Right, oh, okay. I thought she was saying
no,
that.
No, I'm out. No, that didn't happen. Yeah. So he's tricking her into thinking every time she did a poo, he drops into their fridge.
Right, okay.
This resulted in me trying desperately hard not to poo at home. If I did, I'd panic and analyse my poo to assess how funny it was. And then would feel sick with worry when I eventually had to pull the flush, knowing they're all out to have a good laugh at it next door. That's a fucking great little...
great lie.
...kiddie trick. I started pooing at school. Until a group of girls all linked arms and wanted to know why I pooed all the time.
Linked arms.
Amazingly, we moved house shortly after, and so I was plucked out of this nightmare situation. Although I carried on believing in the poo fish tank for a number of years. I'm fine now, Claire.
Yeah, you're in, Claire. I'm sorry I thought you were saying that actually happened.
No. Actually annoyed with it. Nah, it wouldn't have happened.
That's probably one of the most idiotic things I've done.
So she flushed the toilet, went down a pipe and came out the pipe in their room. Oh, that's a cracking trick.
Maybe you could tell that to your middle boy to tell your youngest.
Oh, no.
So he can
really
be
disturbing.
Well, it obviously had a profound effect on Claire.
Maybe I can do something fun to say that... It pops out somewhere else.
And someone puts a little flag in it and says, well done.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes into some pixie house under the trees.
You're not going to do that.
I might do. Anyway.
Claire and the nasty little fish tank Poo-tube prankster. Poo-tube prankster. All of the family next door. Spending their evenings watching her shits slowly sinking to the bottom of the fish tank, watching her shits. Better entertainment than Noel's house party, I suppose. Poor Claire, hoping and praying she didn't plop out any floaters. Didn't want them bobbing around at the top for all to see, bobbing about for all the neighbors to see, plop out any floaters. Ended up crossing her legs and doing her best to keep it in for school time. Nasty little fish tank Poo-tube prankster. Nasty little fish tank Poo-tube prankster. Nasty little fish tank Poo-tube prankster. Gossip number 3.
This is from Jamie. Hello, team. After a recent get-together with some mates, we started to recount one of our favourite tales, which I think you'll enjoy. I have some top sixth form all-boys school-related nonsense for you. I don't really speak to Matty anymore, but he's a good lad, and at school he was a great mate. Our version of Jay from The Inbetweeners, he was well known for telling tall tales that would start unlikely and get more impossible from there. A bit of background on Matty. He was the first to discover his dad's porn collection when we were growing up, a 10-minute preview connoisseur and an avid Channel 5 Friday night recorder. Although we never saw him have much luck with the ladies since we were about 13, Matty was very good at pulling girls on holiday. And when we got back to school, we'd look forward to his stories about it all in X-rated detail. At 17, he met the hottest and freakiest girl on holiday yet. He couldn't wait to tell us about his latest sexy conquest, It's worth noting at this point that Matty wasn't an odd-looking 17-year-old. He looked 15 tops and was not a good-looking lad. Oh, wasn't an old-looking 17-year-old. He looked 15 tops and was not a good-looking lad.
Yeah, not right.
This particular story is the stuff of legend, and unbeknownst to him, also inspired several artworks trying to depict the event that unfolded on this holiday to Corfu with his mum, dad and 13-year-old brother. Rather than tell it myself, as I remember the conversation, I invite you to do a bit of role play. One of you will be Matty. The other can play random school friend number one.
Okay, are you Matty and I?
Yeah, go on then. The scene is a sixth form common room. First break of the day in this new school year. A group of 17-year-old boys, school virgins, sit around a table and the conversation turns to what happened on people's family holidays.
Matty, how was your holiday?
Oh, yeah, really good, really good.
You pool?
Yeah, big time.
Nice. What happened? Who was it?
I was at the pool, and this girl was in the pool. She was really fit. She was giving me the eye for ages and then called me over. So I jumped in and swam up to her, and we got chatting. After a couple of minutes, we were getting off with each other, full-on snogging.
Wow, your mum and dad were by the pool. You didn't care?
Not at all. We just went for it.
Was the pool area busy?
Was the pool area busy? Packed.
Wow, I wouldn't have had the balls to do that. Then what?
Well, then she put her hands down my shorts, grabbed it and whispered in my ear, I want you now.
No, really? What happened next?
She told me her room number and asked me to meet her there in 15. She got out and left.
You get a hard on?
No, of course not. Not yet. So I waited 15 minutes and went up, knocked on her door, and she answered, fully naked. She grabbed me and took me to her parents' bedroom straight away. We started getting off with each other and fooling around. It was pretty awesome. But then we heard her dad coming down the corridor to the apartment, and she got shit scared.
How could you tell it was her dad coming down the corridor?
By the footsteps. You're right
it's
with this.
That's a fucking good point, yeah.
By the footsteps.
Right, you could tell by the footsteps it was him.
Yeah, anyway, I had to hide, so I hid behind the curtain. He came in and saw her coming out of his bedroom naked. He started shouting at her, what are you doing? Who's in here with you?
Shit, you must have been really shitting yourself. What did you do?
I crept out onto the balcony.
Are you naked?
Oh, yeah.
Is the balcony overlooking the pool?
Yeah.
Where are your mum and dad? Has anyone heard or seen you?
Nah.
Wow, amazing. So what happened next?
He was shouting at her still. Then he said, they're on the balcony, aren't they? I'm going out there. I had no choice. I had to get off the balcony.
Fuck, so what did you do?
I climbed over the balcony and hung off.
Wait, fuck off. So you're now hanging naked from the balcony?
Yeah.
How high up?
Fifth floor.
So there's a pool full of people, and no one has noticed a shouting man, a crying girl in an apartment, a naked boy hanging from the fifth floor balcony.
Nope. Oh. Yeah, it gets madder. That's not it.
Yeah, what happened?
So as I'm hanging, there were two girls on the balcony below.
No way.
Yeah, they grabbed my cock while I was hanging there and took it in turns to give me a blowing.
Only just a couple of opportunists.
Ugly looking 15-year-old.
Little knob. hanging like that. Just at the right height.
Fucking prat. Fucking hell. Ah. I often think back to this story and realise how robbed teenagers are now of such golden tales. One iPhone recording or a viral picture of the many depictions of captured the poolside scene would have stopped him sharing this film. Oh, I love those made-up stories. Fucking, do you know what? The one I've got, the guy, bloke at my school, it wasn't having his knob sucked, but it was about him hanging off something. It was hanging off the school roof.
Yeah, they usually are.
It was hanging off things.
Sounds dangerous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, dear.
Can I just read that again? Yeah, they grabbed my cock while I was hanging there and took it in turns to give me a blowy.
funny.
Basic human.
Yeah.
They grabbed my cock while I was hanging there, and took it in turns to give me a blowing.
To give me a blowing?
Gotcha. Sure thing, Matty. What a load of total utter bullshit. Bullshit, mate.
Sure thing, Matty.
Gotcha. Completely made up from start to finish.
Bullshit.
Bullshit, mate. Matty's bullshit nonsense. And took it in turns to give me a blowing. Gotcha. Bullshit, mate.
Sure thing.
Gotta hand it to him though. A bloody great summer holiday yarn. Matty, the schoolboy holiday blowy bullshitter.
Bullshit.
Gossip number 4.
This is from Anonymous. Hi folks, it's on the west coast of Ireland, Scotland here. Love the podcast, except I sometimes laugh out loud and get odd looks. I want to tell you about possibly the most chilling episode of my life, which happened whilst I was fishing and still disturbs me 15 years later. The person responsible for gouging these scars into my brain was a 4-year-old girl. I was on a river near Glasgow and just caught and killed a wild brown trout. Killing it was unusual as I returned virtually everything I catch, but back then I had a little tradition where I took the first fish of the season home for my wife's tea. There was a young man fishing 20 metres upstream. He had this little girl with him, which he didn't look thrilled about. We'd had a brief but friendly enough chat when he arrived. And a few minutes later, I caught the trout and the girl wandered over and introduced herself very precisely. My name is Anne-Marie and I am 4 and a half. My dad says it's okay if I speak to you even though you're a stranger. She asked if she could see the fish, so I opened the poly bag where I placed it and she peered in. Next, she asked if she could touch it, but couldn't wait for an answer. After running her finger along its flank, I got the first clue that this was no ordinary child. A faint smile formed around her mouth, and with what sounded suspiciously like relish, she said, "It's cold." Then boldly she asked if she could have the fish. I explained it was for my wife's dinner, but said her dad would probably catch one soon. She rolled her eyes, nodded contemptuously over her shoulder and sighed. He's hopeless. He never catches anything. He's useless at everything.
At everything, did you say?
Yeah. The withering look and condescending tone seemed so beyond her years that I had a fleeting, if illogical, notion that she was really a 30-year-old midget taking the piss. Anyway, I tried to reassure her that he would be lucky this time, but added that if I caught another one first, she could have it for her tea. She seemed happy with this and headed towards her dad, but stopped abruptly halfway and marched back towards me. Her face, now an expressionless mask, she nodded towards the fish and asked, "How did you dead it?" Given her age, I didn't want to be too graphic, so I pointed at the small hardwood tool next to my fishing bag and said, "That's called a priest. I just gave the fish a little tap with it." She gave me the coldest look.
From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. Seriously, make it stop. Thankfully, there's one company out there that's giving you a much-needed break. It's Mint Mobile. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/switch. That's mintmobile.com/switch.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I've ever seen in any person, never mind a little girl, and said, "Could you hit it again? Really, really hard so I can see its blood." I had no option but to pack up and go home.
Was that it? Oh, I was just settling in then. Oh, no. I could have listened to that for ages. Gutted. Absolutely gutted. I was like, what's this girl going to do next? Nothing.
Basically, she said, is the fish cold?
Yeah.
Or it's cold?
Yeah, why did this burn into...
And can I see its blood? Yeah. Although I liked my daddy doesn't do anything right. He's useless.
Just a peculiar little fishing tale down by the river, and a scary little, very odd, 4-year-old girl goes absolutely nowhere, but I absolutely love it. Love it, love
it. Scary little 4-year-old girl.
The perfect way to finish off part one. See you soon. Part two time, more juicy gossip, please.
This is from Max. My name is Max, and after 20 years, my wife finally allowed me to tell this story.
Okay, I'm in.
Like all good bits of gossip, this one begins with a testicle self-examination, or as it's colloquially known, jerking off. It was my last day in Guatemala, and I was sitting in the hotel waiting to go to the airport and abusing myself to help pass the time. Things were going as well as could be expected until they weren't. My left middle finger brushed up against a lump on my... on my right testicle. My erection wilted like a primrose at Chernobyl. I did a cursory examination, hoping it might be an ingrown hair. But I knew it wasn't. It didn't have the itchy pain of an ingrown hair. No pain at all, actually. It had all the telltale signs of a growth. I absolutely did not want anywhere on my body, especially not on my balls. Within 20 minutes, I'd cancelled my flight, phoned Renee to tell her the flight was delayed, and called an emergency clinic to tell them I was on my way. Fast forward 8 hours, interesting facts about Guatemala, great medical care. I was examined, given an ultrasound, and told to my enormous relief the growth was benign. Just a cluster of fatty deposits, and it would go away on its own in a few weeks. I was on the next flight home. I got back to my house around 10 p.m. It had been almost 2 months since I saw my wife. Needless to say, we were both happy to see each other. I took a shower, scrubbed out the nooks and crannies, and did a bit of manscaping. The lump that caused me so much stress only 24 hours earlier had already started to dissipate. There was a pretty good chance Renee wouldn't even notice. I finished the process of making myself smell moderately fuckable. Dried off. And headed into the bedroom.
Can you smell fuckable?
Moderately fuckable.
Can you smell moderately fuckable? Sorry.
I can.
God, you smell fuckable.
Renee was waiting for me on the bed. I could tell when I got home that there was a decent chance we'd be having a bit of fun. And I was right. I'll spare you the details, but it all went according to our tried and true routine. Upper front pinching, lower front nibbling, lower rear licking, mouth to mouth slobbering, and genitals to genitals docking. 4 thrusts later, and I was wheezing. Sorry, it's been a while, into her ear, and collapsing on top of her. I could tell Renee was stifling a laugh when she told me not to worry about it. I rolled off her and stared at the ceiling, panting like a chain-smoking golden retriever, while I watched the rotation of the ceiling fan and silently wished I didn't have the refractory period of a glacier. I started to get itchy in a remarkably unpleasant spot. We're all adults here, right? Okay, well, for lack of a better way of putting it, the tip of my dick felt like it was getting molested by a poison ivy plant. I started scratching, tried not to make too much of the irritation, and Renée, of course, noticed immediately. She started giggling and began to ask, "Are you seriously jerking?" Then she stopped and winced a little. "Are you okay?" I inquired. "Yeah," she told me. "I've just dry skin or something. You almost ready for round two?" "Sure," I told her, lying through my teeth. "I'll be right back." I got up and stumbled my way through the dark bedroom into the bathroom to hopefully pee away the growing discomfort. Once in the bathroom, I stood in front of the toilet, mildly disturbed by the way the dim glow of the nightlight cast a shadow on the wall and made it look like I had a truly spectacular pair of breasts. Peeing helped the itching go away for a second or two. Then it came back with a vengeance, not just on the tip, but all over the area. I gritted my teeth and leaned over to the right to turn the light on. Then I screamed.
Why are you backing away from your computer? Why are you backing away? You're frightening me.
A sea of tiny brown spiders.
Fuck off.
Swarmed all over my penis.
Fuck off. This is like Alien or something.
The front of my testicles and my left hand that I'd been holding while I peed.
There was an ant nest in his... in his plum. Fucking hellfire. I don't feel very well.
I screamed again and squeezed myself, crushing the tiny spiders in my fist and pulling them away from me.
My skin's cooling now.
Renée, who leapt from the bed after my first shriek, saw what was happening and gasped. I looked at her crotch and almost passed out. Hundreds, maybe even thousands, of the things were leaking out of her. And cascading thigh.
Why did she not want this told? Is this real? I guess. Oh, it's making me feel really uncomfortable.
Pain now, not just itching, exploded from my urethra as another wave of the arachnids pushed themselves out of me. Their journey no longer aided by the lubrication that had eased the passage from the first group. Renée finally discovered her own condition and split my ears with a shriek I was certain would have shattered the windows. She reached in with a fucking hell.
I'm so glad you're reading this one.
She reached in with her fingers and pulled globs of writhing baby spiders, still trapped in the sticky confines of what I'd left following my profoundly disappointing sexual intercourse.
So he basically, in his sperm, in his spunk, there was little baby spiders, right? Just to clarify if anyone's unsure. Just to recap, his spunk was full of spiders, and now...
So the lump didn't burst or anything?
No, I think the lump...
I thought it was like a big... I guess
it was. So that what he's
so
saying
So it came
is,
up through his dick?
Yeah, so they turned out to be benign, but also full of... The lump turned out to be benign, full of spiders. And when he spunked, they came out with it. Whee!
I jumped into the freezing cold shower and tried to aim a needle of the shower water into the spot where the baby spiders kept pouring from. Renée ran out of the bathroom, but I didn't follow. I had my own problems. Gradually, over the course of a couple of minutes, the spiders stopped coming out. I turned off the water and ran to find my wife. All I had to do was follow the drops of semen-trapped baby spiders. I found Renée in the kitchen, her right leg up on the counter, attempting to dredge the remaining creatures from her anatomy with the hose next to the sink. She glared at me. The floor was soaked, but I figured it wasn't a good time for me to tell her that she probably knew. I offered to help, but she told me to leave her alone. Another few spiders crawled out of my flaccid penis. I asked if she was sure. She told me she was. An hour later, after the last of the arachnids were purged from our respective anatomies, we got in the car and went to the hospital. Renée was very happy. It was a pretty long ride and we sat in silence doing our best to forget what had happened. We weren't very successful. I felt terrible and tried to add some levity to the situation. So, remember when all those spiders came out of my dick? I asked and nudged her. She snorted an unexpected laugh and just said, "I hate you right now." We left the hospital after 12 hours of ultrasounds, x-rays and hundreds of questions from every doctor in the place. Apparently, a spider egg cluster can look just like a fatty deposit on an old ultrasound. The same old ultrasounds they use in Guatemala.
No one could explain exactly how the spider egg had gotten there, but the doctor said weirder things have happened. Neither of us were particularly comforted by that fact. After we each got a clean bill of health and 5 free bouquets of flowers from the hospital florist, who told us every single person who worked at the hospital knew what had happened, we went home, and that was that. We were finding cobwebs all over the house for almost 10 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank you so much for
I've
that.
Never seen you step away from your computer before.
No. God, I'm glad I carried on.
Yeah, it was...
Sea of tiny brown spiders swarmed over my penis. Fuck.
Did you imagine that? Because I imagined it straight away. I was like, because it was sort of like running. Did you? Mine ran up his belly in my mind.
Okay.
like an upside down waterfall of spiders.
Wow.
Spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy.
Willy spiders.
Spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy. I'm lost for words, to be quite honest with you. That gossip was so disgusting. I'm totally lost for words. So this little ditty will just have to do. Spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy, spiders up your willy. Gossip number 6.
This is from Jack. Listening to Gossip Mongers reminded me of a tale that I think is gossip worthy. I know this story to be true as it happened to me. It occurred 8 years ago when I was in my mid-20s. I'd been out in London drinking with a couple of old friends on a Saturday night. On the Sunday morning, I had to get up early to get my coach back to Bristol. Being quite hungover, I was just glad that I'd arrived at the station on time. I boarded the coach, headed towards the back and found myself a window seat. Luckily, no one had sat next to me by the time we departed. I closed my eyes and tried to get some rest. I remember thinking I felt something down by my right-hand side, the window side, something very light, just brushing against my shirt. I thought nothing of it as soon as it stopped and I was still half asleep. A short while later, it must have happened again. This time I looked down in my dozy, hungover state to see a pair of long, pale golem fingers. They were in very close proximity to my right arse cheek, wedged into the thin gap between the bottom of my seat and the side of the coach. They were motionless now, but it felt like they'd been gently stroking the edge of my shirt, brushing against the material, but never touching me directly. Well, this is odd, but perhaps the person behind me had just fallen asleep in an awkward position. I decided to switch the empty seat on my left, so I was out of reach and had a decent foot in the aisle, in case I needed a quick getaway. I tried to get back to sleep. Every now and again, I had to check on the fingers. Sometimes they would be nothing to see. Next time, there they would be. The whole hand got through at one point, but I never saw them move. Looking back now, I wonder why I didn't just stand up, look over to see who it was, or simply move to another seat. I think I was more confused and worried, and I wasn't in the best frame of mind to deal with a potentially odd stranger. The situation remained the same for the rest of the journey. I couldn't properly relax or sleep, but I'd regularly check on the whereabouts of those fingers. As the coach was approaching its destination, I'd already decided on a plan of action. I'd stand up early and quickly walk off without looking back. As I tried my best to shuffle off, the owner of the fingers got my attention. I can't remember if he simply spoke to me or if he used his finger to poke at me. I turned round. He was a gangly-looking fella, longish black hair, and looked a bit younger than me. He looked as clammy as his fingers, and he said he was sorry about what had happened. It was an accident, and that he kept falling asleep. I said something like, "It's fine, don't worry," and turned away. It was then he pulled out a £20 note and offered it to me. I must have refused the money at least half a dozen times. "No, honestly, it doesn't matter. I don't want your money," I said. This seemed to annoy him. Despite my numerous rejections, he wouldn't stop offering me the cash. Eventually, I just gave in and took the money just to shut him up. After... Oh, he sent a picture of the hand round the seat.
After what seemed like a lifetime, I got off the coach. I wandered up and down the station for a couple of minutes, keeping an eye on him. Once he was out of sight, I walked away at speed. Still puzzles me to this day. Was he interested in my shirt? Why didn't he just ask me flat out what the fuck was he doing with his fingers? This is horrendous.
Are you sending me the picture?
This is round the chair where he was sitting. Imagine seeing this. That's really horrible.
I'm sort of nervous about receiving this. God, it looks like a mannequin's hand.
It's horrible, isn't it? Yeah, that was stroking his shirt.
There's absolutely no way I'd go. Wouldn't go. Move your fucking hand, mate. It's absolutely. I just felt like I would go. What are you doing? Can you move your fucking hand? Wouldn't you? Would you just let that be there on your journey?
Explain what it is.
Well, when you sent it to me, I thought it was going to be a tiny bit of hand around the side of a chair. It's the whole hand is basically around the front of the chair where he's sat. It's his whole hand. Why on earth wouldn't you go, what the fuck are you doing?
His whole hand's around the chair. It's like, just getting a little feel of him.
But like, okay, the palm of his hand is on the side of the chair and the fingers around the... Fuck off! Would you... He sat for the whole journey with that amount of hand.
With that tickling in that. He said in his email, I don't know why I didn't just walk away. I know why he didn't. He's quite enjoying it.
Honestly, that baffles me that you wouldn't literally...
Really creepy, isn't it?
Just turn around and go, sorry, why's your hand down there? Why's your hand down there, mate? Well, can you take it out? Because it's not right.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right, but just don't do that generally.
Oh, no, sorry. Take us 20 quid.
Yeah, we'll have your fucking 20 quid, you fucking weirdo. Give me here.
Oh, look at you. Is that the man countdown? I think you go with the bloke in the back of the...
Well, oh, yeah, come on, you can have a selfie. I can't stop looking at that. So blame him. I honestly thought it was going to be like a finger, and I'd be like, all right, well, it's fine. That's this.
Yeah, grim.
Wowzers.
Creepy clammy goth man on the coach. And his creepy golem fingers.
Golem fingers.
Stroking and touching and feeling around the seat and into my soul.
And into my soul. Creepy golem fingers.
Fuck off, mate. Get your bloody creepy fingers away from me.
Creepy golem fingers.
Stroking and touching and feeling around the seat.
Creepy golem fingers.
And no, I don't want your fucking money. Just keep your clammy golem fingers to themselves. Creepy clammy goth man on the coach.
Creepy golem fingers.
And his creepy golem fingers. Gossip number 7.
Hello, anonymous, please. Back in the early noughties, myself and my friend were on holiday in Spain and doing what all late teenagers should be doing, hopelessly chasing anything remotely looking female, and when rebuffed, skulking off to the bar where we drank more exotically coloured drinks. One night, against all the odds, my friend managed to pull a particularly inebriated young Scottish lady who bore a striking resemblance to the less short Cranky, and spent an indiscreet half hour attempting to explore every nook and cranny of this poor Highland lass under a fluorescent streetlight. The next night, my friend, giddy with the success, rebuffed said young lady and in a show of ill-conceived bravado attempted to seduce another Scottish lady in the same group. Miffed to the extreme, the Cranky that wasn't we, Jimmy, grabbed me by the hand and dragged me to the selfsame bins under the streetlight that she had enjoyed the previous night. She pinned me against the wall, muttered something about showing that fucking twat, and with quite a rough touch pulled up my jeans. For reasons I've never worked out, I asked her if she really wanted to do this, to which she replied in full Begbie mode, fuck off, I just want your cock, not your fucking chat. Can you do a Scottish accent? Well, I know you can do a Scottish accent. Can you say fuck off? I just no, don't say that to me, Ashley.
What was the sentence? Fuck off, I just want you.
I just want your cock, not
your fuck fucking off, chat. I just want your cock. I'm not saying that.
No, don't say that. Not sure. Over Zoom.
Are you sure? I'll do it if I was in the room.
She proceeded to give me one of the scariest blowjobs of my life. And when I deposited, she stood up and without a word walked back to the bar. I rearranged myself and got back into the bar in time to see her walk up to my mate, spin him round and kiss him with the same level of anger that I'd previously experienced. I toyed momentarily with telling my mate that he was currently chowing down on my milky white love piss, but firstly, I couldn't find the words, and secondly, I was frankly petrified of what the little lady would do to me. She finished kissing him, took a drink from one of her group, gulped it down, then took her leave, pausing only momentarily to give me a knowing, if slightly psychotic, smile. My friend was once again on cloud nine and spent the rest of the holiday believing that he would need to invest in a shitty stick with which to beat off all the girls, who frankly could not get enough of him. Never told him on the rare occasions we meet up. It still amuses me. Thank you very much, Vince. Fuck off. I just want your cock, not your fucking chat.
Wee Scottish lassie, scaring the shit out of all the cocky young lads on holiday. Beating them at their own game. Fancy a mouthful of your mate's jizz? Of course you do, jizz. Here you go, laddie, get it down your neck. Fancy a mouthful of your mate's jizz?
Yum, yum, yum.
Of course you do. Yum, yum, yum. Kiss, kiss. Lovely, yummy mate's jizz.
Yum, yum, yum.
Fancy a mouthful of your mate's jizz.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yummy mate's jizz.
Yummy mate's jizz. Yummy mate's jizz.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes, bits and bobs. We post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.